Hi, I'm Joseph McClendon III, and welcome to the Cure for the Common Life podcast. Listen, you know as well as I do that motivation, empowerment, and inspirational stories, they're all well and good, but that's not what keeps us going. That's not what's going to change your life, and that's not what's going to move the needle in your health, your wealth, your happiness, your abundance, or your ability to be able to help other people and make a difference. What keeps us going, what produces results in our lives is activity, not action, activity. And when you can get yourself past the things that stop you and hold you back, that's when you'll thrive, and that's when you'll crush it. And I humbly offer you these tools and strategies to kick your own ass and make the changes so that you can thrive. But most of all, I'm going to give you something every single time that you can do to create a change in yourself. Life is exactly what you dare to make it, and fortune favors the bold, baby. So if you're ready, let's bold. Well, welcome, welcome. This is Joseph McClendon, and welcome to The Cure for the Common Life, where we always make two promises to you. Number one, to bring you the best of the best of the best in the field of personal development and helping you go further, faster, and achievement. And then secondly, to always give you something that you can do to make sure that you apply what you learn and get a result. And today, I'm super excited to introduce you to my guest. And this has been a long time in the making. This man came into my life about 2 years ago, and I actually made some major, major changes. And he's somebody that, I don't get to often say this about people, but I'm going to say it about him. This man is absolutely delightful. And what I mean by that is he not only always has a smile on his face, but he's one of those people that when he's around, you just feel him and he helps you feel good. He's truly a Renaissance man. And he's currently, well, by the way, he's originally from Romania, and he's currently in Athens, Greece, studying acting and Greek philosophy, ancient Greek philosophy. He says of himself that he travels the world looking for places and people from the past and the present that have wisdom and ideas and concepts that help people improve their lives and the quality of their lives and help them go further, faster. He's been working in the field of personal development personally since 2009 in all possible perspectives and all different departments, from organizing events to sales to marketing, etc., and the list goes on and on. And through the power of social media, he's been able to create communities that have an excess of 6 million people, one of the biggest being the Law of Attraction Live on Instagram. And it is my pleasure to introduce to you Tiberius. I know him just as that, Tiberius. And I know you're in Athens right now still?
I'm in Athens, yes.
Well, welcome to The Cure for the Common Life, my friend. It's been a pleasure working with you over these years, and I'm glad we finally get to sit down and talk.
Thank you, Joseph. I'm honored, and thank you for coming into my life. In 2016, I believe, it made a big impact. I'm very grateful.
Well, it's my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Well, first, let's learn a little bit about you. And as we get started, for everybody listening, you want to grab a pad and paper, because this guy is... One of the things that he is known for, if you will, as I said before, in the Law of Attraction Live, is dropping pearls of wisdom from what he's gathered around the world, not just in the field of the laws of attraction, but personal development as well. But share with us a little bit about kind of your humble beginnings, if you will, and where you came from, and what brought you to where you are, and why you do what you do.
I'm originally from Romania. I was born in 1989. Just a few months before communism came down over there. Mm-hmm. And it was a bit of a chaotic period for all Eastern Europe, I would say. And the thing is that, you know, growing up in the 90s in Romania after communism, you grow up with a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of, I would say, post-communist oppression, right? So all my life, I grew up with, you know, everyone around me telling me that, you know, everything's messed up. We are unlucky. We're never going to amount to anything because we're just not born in the right place, you know. And in the same time, TV came to us in the early 90s. I'm talking more about American TV, because before that, there was just one TV station running for 2 hours a day that was only the, you know, communist propaganda.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then American TV movies came and Cartoon Network and everything. And we didn't even have it subtitled back then. I was just watching Cartoon Network without subtitles, everything in English, you know.
And you didn't speak English at the time.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So wait a minute. So you were watching English television, didn't speak the language, and you were just seeing the images.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they didn't even have anything organized enough to, you know, to have dubs or translations or so on. And you grow up with this, I grew up with this curiosity and desire, you know, to see the outside world, to see, okay, how is life in America? How is life outside of Romania? How is life in all these great countries that we get the information from? But at the same time, people say, yeah, you're never going to get there, you know. You need money, you need power, you need a visa, you know. And that was pretty much my upbringing, a very tough, tough environment. School was very tough. Post-communist school was also very disciplinary, you know, very fear-driven. And to make a long story short, when I was 19, I moved from a small town to Bucharest, Romania, which is the capital. I got a job there in video production at a small video production studio because I thought, you know, maybe that would give me a chance to meet some cool people that maybe give me, you know, a shot of making something out of myself. And the thing is that after a few months in working in the video production industry, we were shooting a bit of a TV series similar to The Apprentice, something like that, or Dragon's Den, similar to that, but in Romania. And I was the driver and I was the guy hooking up all the equipment when we have to shoot something, you know, to do a commercial or whatever. And during that specific series, we interviewed one of the wealthiest guys in Romania. And I was a bit, you know, nervous, like I've never met a rich person before, you know. And I was also a bit, I would say, fearful, because, you know, you grow up thinking that rich people are bad and impolite. And I was shocked that before even starting the actual shooting, the guy came and he was very nice and gregarious and polite, and he introduced himself to everyone in the team, including me, and I was the guy in the back. He had to make an effort to come to me and to introduce himself, and I was just shocked because all of my beliefs, you know, were scrambled in my head, and I was like, right. why would he, you know, come and talk to me? And after the show, I went and asked my boss. I'm like, boss, can you please tell me, like, what this guy do, you know, to make something out of himself? Because he was a self-made guy. And in Romania, you know, that was an extra to be able to do that. And he said, okay, well, I suggest you go and watch the documentary film, The Secret. He said that some ideas in that film helped me, you know, even to have the business that I have today. And I think you'd really enjoy it and benefit it from it. So I went and I watched The Secret.
So wait, this was your boss that told you that, or was the guy?
The boss. Okay. The boss told me that. I didn't even have courage to go in and speak to the guy. I was extremely.
Sure. How old were you then?
I was 19 back then.
Okay, yeah.
And I saw The Secret, and it just blew my mind. Now, to give you an idea, I was working then full time, and back there in Romania, I was making $300 a month. Now, I was staying in an apartment, sharing a room with a guy, like a really, really creepy apartment. My roommate, I was paying 40 euros a month, like $50 maybe for rent. My roommate, he was in a bit of a shady business, you know, he was dealing some weed and stuff. And he would always come late at night, smoke a joint in the same room with me and go to sleep. And I would always go to sleep early because I had my job and I was doing some school as well. And I remember I watched The Secret. He was sleeping in the same bed with me. I was watching The Secret in the morning. First thing in the morning, I was crying. I was, oh my God, this is amazing, because I never thought that there's more to life than what our environment would dictate to us. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my God, our thoughts have powers. And if we choose different thoughts, and if we choose to think in different ways, there's a chance of living a different life. And I just remember so clearly now, back then, I just made a decision. I said, I'm going to give this a very good shot. I'm going to give this everything I've got, because I didn't really have anything better to do with my life.
Right, what do you have to lose? Yeah.
And long story short, after that, I bought a program from my mentor, Bob Proctor. Back then, it was like $200. It was like a big stretch for me. And in that specific program, Bob talks about setting goals.
Right.
And he said that it doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what brought you to where you are today in terms of results. He said your potential is a lot more than anything you can imagine. And he said, when you set a goal, you got to set a goal that's so big that scares and excites you at the same time, and you cannot have a logical, clear way to get to your goal. And I remember, you know, then he says, okay, make a list of things you want and this and that. And then as I was making that list, I remember having an idea in my mind. I was like, oh, if I could only be able to teach this type of information. And then I said, oh, wow, if maybe Bob would be able to come to Romania and to teach concepts like this to our people, because like our only limitations is in our minds. Like Romania has the most amount of gold mineral as an idea in all of Europe. And I'm huge in resources as a country, you know, but it's still a poor country. Why? Because the mentality there, you know, right, has a lot to do. Exactly. And long story short, I just made some very big changes in my life, and I gave it my very best. And in 6-7 months, maybe 10 months from the moment I made the decision, I was on stage with Bob in Romania. You know, I was the project manager for the event for Bob Rock in Romania, and that wasn't an event that's easy or cheap to do.
Sure.
You know, I needed to have like a complete mental makeover, let's say. And then a year later, I moved to the US and I worked in his sales team in Arizona. And then I started going into, you know, online and the social media things that we do. And just, you know, as you said in the introduction, and thank you for that, I worked in all possible departments in this industry because I was just so fascinated and curious about it. And I said, oh my God, I got to learn everything about this. And if you can even make a lifestyle out of this, oh my God, like this is a great bonus. Like you learn about yourself, you learn how to have a better life, and you can also monetize this, and you can also use this have this as a lifestyle. I just think it's amazing. And it's just amazing even being here and speaking with you, because I remember just, you know, several years ago, this was all like a fantasy, a dream.
Yeah.
I couldn't know what it would take. But I didn't have to know. Things just started revealing themselves one step at a time.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for that. And I have a ton of questions. And, you know, for everybody listening, I want to say this, that in this field of personal development and, you know, helping people go further, faster, some of the things that Tiberius said are so almost cliche. When you said, you know, and you actually did it with a, you said, you know, make a list of everything that you want and do this, as though everybody knows that. And a lot of people do, but most people brush it off and just go, okay, well, that's just that again. But the stuff freaking works. It truly does. And you're such a prime example of that. And the things that, you know, if you look at your story, you came from a place that you were compounded with negative thoughts and beliefs. Is that true? In other words, just by your country alone. It fascinates me that you were watching television and not even knowing what they're saying, but the possibilities going through. So, and then you did something about it. So the question I have, the first question is, what's the difference? Because I know some other Romanians, and I've had the, let's just say, the experience of dealing with that foreboding negativity and lack of certainty and doubt and pessimism and skepticism and things. And as a result of, like you were saying, because, you know, when things changed, it was only less than 2 decades ago when things changed. A little over two decades ago when things changed in your country. And so a lot of those people, not only the older people come away still having that attitude, but they passed it on to their young people. So my question to you is, what was the difference in you? What made the difference in you that made you hungry to go out and seek other information and believe that something was possible?
I just always wanted a better life. And I knew a thing since I was a kid. I knew that I wasn't fed the right information. I knew that deep inside of me, I knew that what we're learning there in Romania is not how things work in the real world.
Nice.
I was very good in school, and that gave me confidence that I can work, I can learn, I can perform. If someone gives me a task, I can be diligent and conscientious, and I just needed a shot. I knew that if I get a shot at life, then I'll do my best, and maybe, you know, maybe something good can happen for that. But just going through childhood, I knew that things were not right in Romania. Even like, just to give you an example, I used to have some medical conditions when I was a kid, and I had to go for 15 surgeries.
Wow.
And most of them just because the medical system was so messed up and they did some wrong stuff on me. But I always grew up learning that if you want to make it in life, you got to be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that. And the doctor from my hometown, when I was in the seventh grade, he was the top doctor in my town. And he hung himself when I was in the seventh grade. He was the most respected guy. And I said, this is not how it works. They say that if you learn and become a doctor, then you're going to be happy. You're going to have everything, the best out of life. But it's not like that. And I even remember getting access to internet. I would always go on chat rooms and I would try to speak with people from other countries. I was like sixth grade or seventh grade. And I would just want to learn more about how things work in other places and other countries, because I just knew that it's not the way it is. And I always had this hunger. I said, I need a shot. If I get a shot, if I get a chance, you know, I'm gonna make the most out of it. I just had it in me. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. But
well, first off, again, thank you for that. And maybe let's shed some light on the why, because people that are achievers and high achievers like yourself and influencers like yourselves, they often have that, and I did as well, have that same answer. I don't know why I was driven. I don't know why, but I was hungry. I don't know why, but I needed to make this happen. And they don't know why. And I'm going to take a shot at, well, an educated shot at your reason why you did that. And everybody listening, please write this down. And if you're driving, you know, come back and listen to it and write this down, because it's really important. Here's what it comes down to. Here's what makes the shift in a human being in general. And it could start anywhere. I'm going to give you four things, and then actually five things. And in these five things, you can start anywhere. Any one of them start, goes to the next one, goes to the next one. So it's sort of a cybernetic loop. And let's start with information. In other words, somebody gets some information, and in that information, it goes to the next thing, which is an experience. And the experience is an aha moment. And the aha moment means you question your beliefs about what you've been taught. So when we learn something that is opposed or the antithesis of what we've been taught, and in your case, you were taught that Romanians were unlucky and that were, you know, you just were born in the wrong country and the wrong time and all that stuff and everything. But then you got some information, and maybe you got it before, but I'm going to use the television experience because you brought it up. You got some information and you had an experience, and the experience was an aha. And from that, you went into something called discipline. And you were fortunate. You said Romanian education system was very strict and disciplined. And so you had that. In my case, my father was Air Force, you know, military. So he was very disciplined. And so from that, you got the discipline. And from the discipline, by the way, from the experience, you get a possibility that you want to make some change. And then you pull into that the discipline of doing something. And the catalyst to make it all work is energy and excitement. Energy and excitement. And so wherever you jump in on any of those five, information, experience, discipline, energy, and excitement, wherever you jump in, you can jump in and get excited about something, and you'll want to go seek some information. And from information, you'll get some experience, and from experience, discipline. You can jump in on any one of those, but it's across the board something, and if I was to dig deeper into your past, I bet I could find it, that there was something that was a defining moment. And it's not necessary for people to have that defining moment. But it is necessary to have a defining moment right now. And what that means is if you want to make a change in your life, which is, you know, kind of the core of this particular program, is to help people make the shifts, the emotional and mental and physical behavioral changes so that they get what they want, then you got to have an aha moment right now. And you know, that old saying that, because a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm 30 years old, I'm 40 years old, 50, 60, 70 years old, it's too late for me. Well, the old saying is the best time to plant a tree is 30 years ago. The next best time is right now. And so part of the reason I'm having this amazing man on here right now is to show you what he's done in, quite honestly, in a very, very short amount of time, and the amount of lives that he's changed as well. Tiberius, share with us a little bit about your beliefs and that you took away from the secret, and you've blown it up way past the secret, quite honestly. Some of the beliefs that you have that most people don't have with regard to the laws of attracting into their lives the things that they want.
I think the main thing I got out of the secret is that our thoughts influence the results we get in our lives. It's as simple as that. And if we change our thoughts, if we change the way we think, if we set some goals for ourselves and choose different images in our minds and just act on that inspiration and just go and give ourselves a chance, then we're gonna start experiencing life in a different way. I think we don't have to complicate things with the law of attraction.
Yeah,
I think all these people, and I see a lot of messages we get on our community. A lot of people are looking for the one simple secret formula, and they're expecting to find like this holy grail. And when they find it and snap their fingers and apply it, everything's gonna change. I just think that we need to understand that there's a correlation between the thoughts we think and mm-hmm. certain events that we attract into our lives. And we just have to understand how amazing we are. And this is where you teach us so well, Joseph, on our lives, you know, that there's just so much potential inside of us. And then just give ourselves a chance. I think it's as simple as that. I don't complicate things, you know. In a certain way, I believe that our thoughts have a big impact in reality. In the same time, I like to be surprised by life. I think it's a matter of working with the universe. I don't think it's a matter of, okay, my thoughts is going to create this reality and I control everything that's in my reality. I think it's a matter of finding the fine line between, okay, what I intend to do and what life kind of like wants for me. It's like finding that alignment, you know? And on one side, it's great to have aims and goals and plans and so on. But in another sense, it's good to let life surprise you a bit. You know,
set some. I love that.
Let life surprise you, know. And there's a thing, you know, like Western culture. I mean, in Greece right now, I'm studying Greek philosophy. Western culture is a bit very, very goal organized. Got to have the goals. Got to have the dream. You got to have the plan and work for it. And that's amazing. Now, Eastern culture. I'm in the middle right now. Eastern culture. One of the doorways to liberation and to enlightenment in Buddhism, it's aimlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any goals.
Right.
Just surrender to the intelligence of the body and get aligned, and you know that, and you know you're gonna reach nirvana and so on. So I think it's up to us to see, you know, what our secret sauce is. And find our formula of success and to find our way to live and enjoy our lives.
Now, I like what you know you said about yourself, that you travel the world looking for places and people from past and present with wisdom that are going to help you go further. And that kind of plays into what you're just saying. And that is so true. I believe that as well. I call it the dance, you know, life's dance, the dance between, you know, and by the way, Western culture is changing to a bit with this, the advent of millennials, because they're not as goal oriented except for just to be happy. Yeah, that is the main thing, to be happy. They're not as, it depends on, you know, where you focus in social media. You can focus in social media and see somebody saying, you got to have this Ferrari and you got to have this handbag and you got to have that. And if that's where your focus goes, then that's probably what you might tend to believe. But the truth of the matter is that most people, they're realizing now, even in the Western world, that happiness and that aimlessness that you're talking about is part of it. And that dance in between is critical as well. And so I agree with you with regard to our thoughts influence the universe. I always say that our thoughts influence the universe to bring into our lives the situations, circumstances, and even material things that we desire. Here's the question. And the question is, what influences our thoughts? What can people do to change their thoughts? If we know that it's, I say top down, as we think, so we feel, and as we feel, so we do, and as we do, so we create, and so we have, what makes us think?
That's an amazing question. Sometimes I sit and ask myself, who decided me for me to have the voice that's going on in my head right now?
Wow.
Because I'm 4 or 5 minutes away from the ancient Parthenon and Acropolis and the ancient Agora, where the ancient Greek philosophers like Socrates used to teach. And sometimes I walk there and I think maybe some of the voices in my head originated back then. And I'm talking about some of the negative voices in my head, because are not there to liberate us. And I'm like, why do I entertain such thoughts? You know, that's one way of seeing it, because I think most of the thoughts we have in our mind have been programmed.
Yes, no doubt.
Into us. Many of them might be 1,000 years old. I think right now we're extremely, a lot of people are hooked to find exactly what caused the problem. Why am I having this specific thought? And they're trying to go to psychoanalysis and try to identify the exact moment in the life where that thought originated. But it might have been, you know, several generations ago. So they might need to do a lot of psychoanalysis in order to get there. So on one side, that's how I think our thinking happens. A lot of it we get from our environment.
No doubt.
And what helps me, come again?
I said, no doubt.
And what helps me is realizing that it's all a role. I'm doing acting here in Greece. I manifested a really cool acting teacher. And sometimes I go on stage and I have to be a lawyer, or I have to be a doctor, or I had to be like an intellectual university professor while doing a scene with a colleague. And when I go on stage, I just need to, for teacher, he quotes Robert De Niro, and he says, when you go on stage, you have to forget about your little lives. When he's talking about the little lives, he's talking about all the little things we have every day, all the limiting thoughts. You have to go there, you have to make things important, and you have to create things, and you have to make a character come alive. And many times I go on stage and I really get into that role. And then I sit back in my chair and think, oh my God, Tiberius is just a name that was assigned to me. And I'm just playing a role that has been assigned to me by my culture, by my environment. And I'm like, no one asked me if I want to think like this or like play this role, you know? Then I'm like, oh my God, I'm the pure consciousness behind the roles that I have been assigned to play. And I don't need to be so attached to who I am right now and all my problems and all my trauma and all of that, because that's just a role. So I can take a step back and just say, okay, I'm pure consciousness. I'm this amazing human being, you know, and I can just choose to play this role, or I can just choose to let this situation affect me, or I can choose to let this story affect me or not, or even better, I can just create my own role, or I can just create my new story, and I can train myself to choose to live that and embody that and maybe manifest that in time, you know. And of course, it sounds simple, but just disidentifying ourselves with these types of triggers and thought patterns that we let them control our everyday life. Disassociating a bit with that and taking a step back and just taking a breath, you know, and seeing that, okay, there's space between that. I think that helps. And then maybe taking some meditation classes and some acting classes or going to your events. There are just so many ways to do it. And things have to be practical. I don't think a book is going to make changes by just reading a book. We got to go out there and find some practical ways to train our minds and to train our bodies to just switch those patterns.
Yeah, that activity. You're preaching to the choir, man. You were speaking the same language. And I always say you hit on something. And I've said this so many times, and that is the search for the reasons why is up there in the top three reasons why people procrastinate so much and waste so damn much time. And what I mean by that is when people, because I meet them all the time, and people, and I did it myself as well. I wondered why I thought the way that I do, why I didn't like myself, or why I had the doubts. And I wondered where that came from. And I felt like if I could find out what it is, then I'd understand it, and then I would change. Well, the truth of the matter is, why is it what we call an endless loop question. If you ask a question, this is just human nature, this is human psychology. If a human being asks the reason why, and they don't get an answer, or they get an answer that they don't like, then guess what they're going to do? They're going to ask it again, and they're going to ask it again, and they're going to continue to search. And even when they do find it, they're going to doubt it. Was that it? Or was it true this? And then why did that happen? And we get into this endless loop of downward spiral instead of doing what you just said. And I love this. Step back. Find something that makes you step back. Find something that makes you go, well, wait a minute, let me just put my focus over here. And then the why doesn't have to be as important. I'm not saying don't continue to look for that. I'm just saying don't make it as important for most people, because most people, that's where they live. And then when they get tired of that loop, then they just procrastinate and eat cake and drink beer and smoke weed.
You teach us in our Magnetic Monday Instagram Lives, Joseph, to smile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The smile on your face is going to change our thought patterns. It's actually very difficult to put a big smile on your face and to entertain negative thoughts. Yeah. And there's such a big correlation between our thought patterns and the way we carry ourselves throughout the day, the way we keep our shoulders, the way we walk, the way we like. And if we change our bodies, this is where it's important to, you know, live in a healthy body and be preoccupied into getting our bodies as healthy as possible. If we change our bodies, our posture, if we smile more, different thoughts are going to enter.
No doubt, yeah.
Even in acting, if I'm going to go and have a role as a Harvard professor, let's say, as an intellectual, you know, has nothing to do with my background, my teacher's going to say, okay, first, you have to go on stage. You have to walk like that Harvard professor.
Exactly.
You have to sit like that Harvard professor. And when you do that, your voice changes. It's just amazing. When you change the way your body sits and walks, your voice changes. Your attitude changes. It's just fascinating.
You become part of that. My son loves a show on television called The Flash. And it is about this guy that runs really, really fast. And he's a superhero. And in his lab, there are a collective of like three or four young people, let's just say in their early 30s, and they're brilliant. They are scientists and doctors and things like that. And they will talk about something, you know, this quantum blah, blah, blah to move into a next dimension and why this happens and everything. And my son said to me the other day, he goes, Dad, none of that stuff is real. And I go, yeah. And he goes, somebody has written that, somebody has made it up. And you as an actor know that they give you a script and there's words on there. So when we watch shows like, ER and stuff like that, those things, some of the things that they're saying, they're real. But what these guys are talking about wasn't real. And then I said, well, why do you say that? And he goes, because they make it seem like it's real. The way that they're talking and the way that they're moving their bodies make it seem like they're real. And I go, son, that's acting. However, acting is just a form of they use their body, they use their voice, and they use what's inside their head to make it seem real. They're moving their body and it causes them to, that's what makes you believe it. Because you can see a bad actor and you don't believe them. You know, you see somebody that's stepping to it. Well, listen, this is, you know, I promised to keep people this at about 25 minutes and we're running a bit over. And I want to ask you a couple of questions before we go. And first off, everybody, you want to make sure you follow this amazing man. At the very least, find him on the Law of Attraction Live on Instagram. And he will, every day, he gives you some pearl of wisdom and brings things into your life. And he's allowed me for the last, well, probably going on 2 years now, we do something called Magnetic Mondays. Well, we share a bit, and you can do no wrong by following this man and making sure. And also, we'll leave information in the in the description here about how to get a hold of them and protect them. So I have two questions. Number one is, will you come back and do this again? Because this is certainly not enough enough time to dig, go as deep as I wanted to.
I would love to, Joseph. It's a dream for me to be able to sit and talk to you always.
Thank you so much. And then last question is parting words that you would have for anybody here about what to do, where they are right now, and how to help go further faster.
To stay curious, to get a healthy understanding of how amazing they are, and just to give life a shot, you know, give themselves a chance. Because life's amazing, and we live in the most amazing era possible.
Nice. Well, listen, thank you so, so much. And everybody, all obviously always like and subscribe and make sure you hit the notification, make sure that we're here. And please follow this man. And remember that life is always, always, always exactly what you dare to make it. And fortune favors the bold. Tiberius, thank you so much. And I look forward to doing this again with you very, very soon. And I will see everybody at the top.
Thank you, Joseph. Likewise.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Cure for the Common Life podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share it with a friend. And if you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review it on your favorite podcast player. And if you have any questions or comments or any topic ideas you might want to be a guest on my show, you can reach me directly at josephmcclendon.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the top.